Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy, the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also Simon Loses His Tummy from beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is in the house.
Good morning to both of you. Not so beautiful, a little foggy, but it will get better a little later on this afternoon.
Now there's an intro.
but you know, I was just thinking how the way you introduced me, you're talking about food for mood, and I have to say that sometimes we don't really stick to that topic. But today, you know, we're sort of going back to the basics, Jill, and how one really can, you know, take the solutions that nature has given us, the foods that nature has given us, to change our mood for the better, you know, without relying on antidepressants and tranquilizers and anti-anxiety pills and alcohol and smoking and what have you. But, you know, sometimes the solution is as simple as some graham crackers or maybe a cup of Cheerios.
Yeah, and it's so funny how people, you know, who are just perfectly attuned to eating tapeworms or, you know, just any random diet that they find on the out there, don't know this little basic equation. It's just...
Yeah, exactly. Well, but what happened was that recently I had a client who... a male in his 50s who was complaining to me that ever since he got married, it was actually a second marriage for him and a second family for him. His first marriage had produced a couple of kids who are now in their late teens, early 20s, but his second wife had produced two children for him, 1 2 and 1 4, and being a good father and husband, he took on the responsibility of helping his wife when he came home from a long day of teaching at a nearby boarding day school, so that his day would start around 7:30 in the morning, and he would get home maybe around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And as soon as he walked in the house, he felt really good for him. You know, he felt, you know, an obligation to relieve his wife of childcare duties. But he said to me that, you know, as soon as he did walk into the house, you know, after a long day of work, and confronting, you know, the kids at school, you know, he found that his tension rose. You know, he became really tense, irritable. He found it very hard to be patient because, you know, at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, kids tend not to be at their best. And he would find, you know, the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old squabbling, or the 2-year-old having a tantrum, or the 4-year-old just sort of exerting his power to say, you know, I won't do this, I won't do that. And he said as soon as he would start dealing with this, he would start snacking on anything he could find, but usually carbohydrates. And then that would continue through the dinner hour because his wife thought it was good if they had a family dinner together with a 2 and a 4-year-old. And so he would shovel food into his mouth as fast as he could because he said to me, well, if I do that, I'm not going to scream at the kids. Okay, so in 2 years, he had gained about 40 pounds, which was not good because he wasn't thin to begin with. And he said, gee, maybe I ought to go on the ketogenic diet. The keto diet, because that eliminates almost totally any carbohydrate. In fact, it should eliminate all carbohydrates if you go on that diet to get the full benefit of switching from using carbohydrates to fats for energy. So he said to me, gee, if I go on the keto diet, I won't be able to eat carbohydrates. So that is the solution to my problem. But, of course, it wasn't the solution to his problem because he still had the 2 kids who were fighting and still had the child care responsibilities, and he still had the stress. Of course, he didn't think about that. And so I pointed out to him that what he could do was to eat the prescribed amount of carbohydrate, not just shovel it into his mouth as rapidly as he could, but eat a prescribed amount of carbohydrate, you know, in the form of maybe... you know, an English muffin or some Cheerios or some other kind of, or perhaps instant oatmeal, about a half hour before he left school to come home, because by doing that, he would naturally, which everyone seems to forget, naturally increase his level of serotonin in the brain, and the serotonin would calm him down again enough so that he could cope with the problems that he was facing when he opened the door, i.e. the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old. And he was very skeptical because he said he was sure he wouldn't be able to do it. It wouldn't really work. But lo and behold, a week later when I saw him, he said, it worked. He said, you know, my kids were just as difficult as ever because of their age and the time of the afternoon. But he said, I could just cope with them, and I felt very calm. and you know, and I enjoyed them much more because I wasn't tense. And he said, I really, after I had that, you know, snack at school, I wasn't feeling any kind of pressure to eat anything as soon as I got home. It was such a simple solution, Jill. And yet he was on the verge of saying, okay, I'm not even going to...
He was on the verge of the keto diet, basically.
You know, control my eating, but I'm going to go on a totally weird diet.
Yeah. And it's you. I mean, again, each... People embrace diets for various reasons, so I don't want to generalize.
Yeah.
I don't want to offend anyone. I just want to emphasize that there's actually a pretty basic equation here that if more people knew it, and you know, very, very important in this particular blog post that we're talking about, it's something you did with the client, which is figure out where he could have that snack so that it would take effect.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, somebody will say, well, he shouldn't have been eating to help his mood. He should have been able to meditate his mood away, or should have been able to control the children so that he changed what happened in the afternoon and the evening so they were well-behaved. Well, maybe in books that happens, but not necessarily in one's kitchen, that he should not have given in to himself. He should have been able to use self-discipline so that he wouldn't be resorting to food. But my feeling is that if you're thirsty, your body says to drink. If you need, you're deficient in vitamin C, sometimes you really have a yearning for an orange or a grapefruit or some other form of citrus fruit with vitamin C in it. If you are feeling stress, your brain needs to be fed, as it were, in order to increase serotonin, to decrease your stress. And the signal you get from your brain is eat some carbohydrate. That's the only way your brain will make more serotonin. And the carbohydrate, unfortunately, is usually looked upon as a forbidden carbohydrate, you know, a chocolate bar or ice cream or cake or donuts or potato chips. But it need not be. The relationship between the carbohydrate and feeling better is not dependent on the kind of carbohydrate you eat. It should be a healthy carbohydrate with no fat and very little protein to reduce the calories and prevent protein from decreasing serotonin from being made. Nobody seems to understand that, and it's such a simple solution. You know, a three-quarters of a cup of Cheerios is something like 120 calories. That's not going to destroy anybody's diet, but it will bring peace to your mind and maybe to your household. It's a much simpler solution than taking an anti-anxiety pill or else moving to another apartment in the afternoon so you don't have to deal with your kids.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so ridiculously simple. How do people find out about this?
Well, you know, we write about that, I mean, all the time. I mean, I write about that all the time on my, you know, blogs of Psychology Today online. But you know, when I do write about this, I always get this pushback like, oh, how can you say you should be eating carbohydrates? How can you say you should be eating anything with sugar in it? Oh, it's bad for me. It's going to make me fat. And what no one seems to realize who writes these kinds of responses is that, first of all, carbohydrate and protein have the exact same number of calories per gram. And fat, which, of course, is part of diets like the ketogenic diet, have 9 calories per gram, you know, more than twice as many calories. And second of all, we're talking about eating carbohydrate not for its nutritional benefit, but for its emotional and mental health benefit. And I think that message seems to be lost in this, you know, wave that's been swept over the country in the last 10 years or so that painted all carbohydrates, you know, with a brush of, oh, they're bad for you, they're going to give you a foggy brain, or they're going to make you gain weight, because very few people, including, I must say, many physicians, don't really understand the basic biochemistry of how the brain makes this very important chemical, serotonin, that really controls our mood and actually even controls our appetite. I guess we just have to keep talking about it. Maybe I should have a little billboard or something. You know, carbohydrates make you sane, or something
like
that.
Yeah, and we might need either a little billboard or a little reminder, because and somebody did this with a dog. It is so interesting how, with the passage of time, people have lost the absolute basic building blocks of understanding nutrition, understanding the most simple, like if this, then this. You know, it's all become so complicated and convoluted. And the upshot is that a lot of people just don't listen to their bodies as to what they can eat. And a lot of people don't know that many of the pharmaceuticals that are prescribed actually have as a side effect.
That's right. But John, I want to say one thing, that you know, if you go into the literature, fiction, if you read any kind of literature, you always come across somebody eating carbohydrates in order to deal with stress. And there's this wonderful play by Oscar Wilde called The Importance of Being Earnest, which is one of these really silly plays where there's misidentity and people are pretending to be somebody they're not. And there's one situation where somebody who is sort of caught doing this and is at a tea party, and he's eating scones, whatever he pronounced it. And somebody says, you know, why are you eating them? And he ate the whole plateful. He said, I'm so stressed, I have to eat these.
That's right.
And no, I thought, exactly. I remember watching that play and saying, yes, of course. Of course he had to eat these, you know, these sort of flowery biscuit-like, you know.
Yeah,
he was so stressed, but Oscar Wilde understood it.
Right, but it's just that they didn't have the benefit of all the research that you and your husband did.
It's just human nature.
Right.
That's what he was writing about.
No, and that is true. And then to take something like that that actually works, even if you don't know why, and say, well, you can't have that, but what you can have is something that is not going to make you feel remotely... But you can't have something that's just going to end up making you feel even more anxious. You know, that's not helpful. And
no, it's like if you saw somebody gulping water, let's say, because you didn't know that person had just run 10 miles in 90-degree heat and the person was dehydrated, say, oh, look at that person, he's binging on water, stop it. You know, I mean, that is really the response we get when we see somebody who is upset at eating some carbohydrate. Oh, that person shouldn't be doing it. No, that person should be, but just doing it in a controlled way and listening to the brain say, okay, you've had enough, and stop. The way when you drink a lot of water, your brain suddenly, or your hormones in your body, say, okay, you've had enough. Nobody says you shouldn't be drinking water when you're thirsty. And I wish people would stop saying, stop eating carbohydrate when you're stressed, because you are taking away the one thing that is going to really help you naturally feel less stressed. We're trying, Jill.
Yeah, and we will continue to do so, because if nothing else, we persevere. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood, every Thursday morning live on Robin Hood Radio and also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand, click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.